Okay, we're going to call the Senate Finance meeting to order. Today's Friday, January 31st. With us today is Co-Chairman Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and I think I saw, yeah, there's Senator Faircloth. So we have the full committee with us this morning. This morning we're taking up only one bill, and as you know, we'll be adjourning by 10 o'clock for floor session. So Senate Bill 125 is the bill that we're going to take up today, and that the title of that is Senate Bill 125 rejects the recommendation of the Compensation Commission. So I think at this time let's get an overview of the bill, unless the committee members have anything to bring up before we get started. Okay. See nothing. Christine Marsigan, would you join us, please? If you could put your name on the record and tell us what this bill does.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Christine Marsigan. I staff Senator Kevin Meyer in the Senate Finance Committee. Before you have Senate Bill 125, which rejects the recommendations from the Compensation Commission. According to statute, the Compensation Commission provides a final report 10 days into the session of any changes to salary. The particular final report was put on your area here this morning. It was faxed over. And the findings and recommendations you'll find for salary increases and compensation can be found on page 2 and 3 of that document. According to statute, once these final recommendations,
Can you hold on for a second? Does everybody have the final recommendation? Okay. Just want to make sure everybody has that. Okay. Thank you. Christine, go ahead, please.
Once the final recommendations have been made, the legislature then has 60 days to reject these recommendations. If they do not, then they basically become enacted. So Senate Bill 125 rejects the commission's recommendations. And online, we should have Mr. Rick Calford, who is on the commission. And we also have Nancy Such from the administration in the room to answer any questions.
Okay, very good. Any questions for Christine at this time? Okay, if not, then why don't we go to the commission director. Rick Helford is online. So, Mr. Helford, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Senate Finance. Yes, if you could put your name on the record, please. And
My name is Rick Helford. I'm the chair of the State Officers Compensation Commission, and we're the ones that made the recommendation before you.
Okay. Very good. Do you want to talk about the recommendation at all?
Well, the recommendations basically just pick up the executive branch side of the schedule that is ongoing with the rest of the public employees. So the executive heads of departments pick up where they are on that schedule. As you know, the most challenging part of the Salary Commission is dealing with the legislative side and the political side. The recommendations total, I think, about $280,000, and it is only fairly technical changes, $227,000, I guess it is. But the it is just bringing the commissioners and governor and lieutenant governor up to where they would be on the salary schedule if everything had moved forward since the last time it was changed. The only substantive things that are done are the provision that deals with deputy commissioners moving up to commissioner and with the geographic pay differential. There's nothing that involves the legislative branch at this time.
Okay, very good. And we certainly do appreciate the what you guys do on the Salary Commission. It is a difficult subject for us to discuss, and it's good to have an independent commission. And can you describe, I don't know if the final report is available to the public yet, because we just got ours this morning. Can you maybe tell us what the changes were from the preliminary report, which I believe you've had out for some time, and versus the final report?
Well, I would rather have staff go through the individual pieces of it, because, as I say, they're a series of small changes over several years. They're intended to make the system exactly what it would have been if the executive branch people had been operating under the old salary structure.
Okay, very good. And Nancy, are you prepared? Okay, we're going to ask Nancy to come to the table. Mr. Halpert, I guess the question I have while Nancy approaches the table, I'll just say I support your recommendation. I think the commissioners and the governor earn the money that you're recommending, and I'm sure you've compared this to other states, it's probably deserving. I think the timing is not good when we're in deficit spending here. Nancy, you're with us. Can you briefly describe what the changes were from the preliminary report to the final report?
I'll stay on for questions.
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Alford.
For the record, I am Nancy Such, Deputy Director, Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. Something's weird here with the sound.
Yeah, it's a little weird, yeah.
I'd also like to comment that the final recommendations will be posted on the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations website later today.
Great.
And the reason why you didn't receive the report earlier was that the file was too large when we sent it over yesterday afternoon, so we do apologize for that.
Okay.
So as Chair Halford was commenting, the salary for the increases for the deputy commissioners, governor, and lieutenant governor is to catch up for what didn't occur through the increases 2010, 11, and 12, where other parties had seen a 2% wage increase over those 3 years. It's going back and making that adjustment. If you'd like me to walk through the report of the findings, I can do that.
Committee members interested in, okay. Yes, if you would, please.
The recommendations, the governor's salary to increase effective July 1, 2014. So we're bringing up the increases to follow other state employees that received a 1% increase in 2013, 2014, and 2015, 1%, 1%, 2.5%. It's applying that. Lieutenant's governor's salary, also the same recommendation. The salary of department heads shall be increased to 146, 142, 67 per annum, which includes the increases that were granted under Senate Bill 95. Department heads shall receive geographic pay differentials commensurate with other state employees in accordance with AS 3927020, and that largely affects Juneau commissioners, where the only geodiff would be applicable at this time. And finally, the salary of deputy commissioner who accepts the office of department head with the same department with no break in service, if paid a salary higher than the salary authorized for the department head, will retain their current salary subsequent statutory increases while holding the position of department head. Because there's a flat amount for commissioner salary and deputy commissioners are in a range step system, there are deputy commissioners that are making more money than the commissioners of their agencies. And when they're asked to advance to the commissioner level position, they're actually taking a pay cut to do so.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Has that been a problem in the sense that deputy commissioners don't want to step up to commissioner because they take a decrease pay?
I think it's fair to say it's caused a problem for some people.
Okay, very good. Questions? Senator Dunman.
And I'm not sure if this goes to Rick or yourself, but when the study was done and we compared our state with other states in terms of volume and or difficulty of work in those areas, where did our executives fall out in that that match or that mix?
Through the chair, Senator Levy, that is one of our it's buried in this binder, and I don't have a quick answer for you, but I can get you an answer back.
Were we on the low end? Were we right there with them? Were we on the high end? How would you describe it? It's a general.
You want Senator Helfer to answer that, or?
He can certainly try.
Okay.
Could you repeat the question, Senator?
Yeah. When the commission looked at other states that were somewhat comparable in terms of workload, difficulty, et cetera, where did their execs fall out compared to ours?
Mr. Helfer, did the commission?
We did look at other states, and we looked at studies of other states, and Alaska was somewhere in the middle of the pack. And, you know, the hard part is, do you count Alaska in health and social services? You count it by numbers of people, but in DNR you count it by a huge management responsibility for an area that encompasses a number of other states. So yes, there was analysis of load, and we were in the middle of that process. The, you know, one of the things to look at also is you have to go three or four pages through the list of executive branch employees to ever get down to the highest salary of any commissioner. And that's part of the difficulty with deputy commissioners and part of the difficulty with some of these comparisons. But it was intended to just catch up to the system with mostly very small changes, with the exception of the deputy commissioner moving up and the pay differential question. And both of those were brought to the commission by a member. And I would just add that we made a policy when we started at that commission that we would not do anything unless we had unanimous consent of the commission members. And after the discussion and listening to all the information from Department of Administration, the commission unanimously thought that that made sense to get back on those schedules.
Senator Dunleavy, go ahead.
Senator Helfer, did you come across any other models similar to Alaska where in some cases the individual that you supervise as a commissioner makes more than the commissioner?
I think there are cases. We didn't highlight that, no.
Okay, thanks.
14 out of 23.
Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, on page 4 of the facts, it says today 13 of 23 deputy commissioners are receiving higher salaries than the department heads, and the salaries of 7 of these deputy commissioners exceed the commissioners' proposed salaries for department heads. I don't know if that gets us there, but.
Second paragraph.
Okay. Also, too, I might, the commission members were obviously Rick Helfer, Gordon Harrison, Thomas McGrath, and Richard Knapp. And again, we appreciate your service to this board. Senator Fairclough. Senator Dunleavy, were you done?
Just a quick
sure, go
quick
ahead.
One. This is the only group, and I want to make sure I get this right. We are not, by passing this bill, we would not approve their increase.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we're freezing others.
No.
So others will continue to progress if they have a salary schedule, a step in column, an inflation increase. They will continue to go, and it's just for these folks.
That's correct, Senator Dinelby.
Thanks.
Senator Perkoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could have someone respond, did the commission take into account the median wage that's so much higher in Alaska versus looking at a salary straight across the board in another state? So if we looked at Missouri and we saw that a commissioner in Missouri was making $100,000 and they were, you know, in the lowest quartile of average age, then that commissioner, that state could draw, well, that state may not draw the expertise into the state. As I guess where I'm going, or I know where I'm going, is if we're in Alaska and we have some of the highest quartiled positions in the state of Alaska and we want to attract that professionalism and high quality into state positions, did we take that into account when we looked at being in the middle of the pack for what our commissioners and deputy commissioners are making?
The answer is yes, and we're still in the middle of the pack, but that does have an impact on it. And as you all know, when we look at it, we tried very hard not to look at individuals, but to look at positions and responsibility, and not to have anything to do with anything other than that. And there are people who serve in cabinet positions who have the best job they've had in their life, and there are people who serve in cabinet positions who took a huge economic decrease in order to serve the state. And there's no way that any system that we could come up with would make that differential work. So, you know, if you look at the system as a whole and look at yourselves as well as the cabinet, every time you negotiate with a multinational corporation in a resource area particularly, you're negotiating with people on the other side of the table who have huge compensation and fantastic packages in security and retirement and so on and so forth. So I would say across the board, the executives of our state resource corporation are way, way underpaid, and that's in virtually all branches of government. That's my own prejudice, don't know what else I can say about it.
Go ahead, Sanford.
Mr. Halford, I think that we're not competing anymore. We've watched some turnover in the administration, and we've lost some very talented people in the last 4 years. I couldn't tell you whether it was because of salary and benefits, but they did go to the private sector and appear to take on positions that may have higher salaries. Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. On the fiscal note, I see what we're rejecting, but I don't see the cost of, if we accepted it or didn't do anything, what that cost would be. And so I'm only looking at what's here in my packet. So do we have the numbers of what implementation by category would cost the state? And what troubles me the most about rejection is the inequity between a deputy commissioner and a commissioner, that if that commissioner, if we have talent that is in the ranks and that they're not moving up to take on those additional responsibilities and still making more than the person who did, that might create some friction inside of those departments.
Through the chair, I have the only information I have available right here is on the final page with the total $227,000 cost. If you would like individual costs, I can provide that at a later time.
Mr. Chairman, the governor has said publicly, and I believe the lieutenant governor said publicly, that they would like to reject those. The commissioners work for the administration. I'd like to know at least what the differential is on the people that are affected by deputy commissioners being paid more than commissioners, to see if that's possible to write that. We're not asking anyone else that is under contracts on the union right now to take pay freezes or anything else. At least I'm unaware of that. I know that we're in tough times, but in tough times we really need bright people that are willing to take on those responsibilities, and I'm not advocating for that addition right now, but I'd certainly like to know what it is.
Senator Faircloth, if there's no other, I was just going to go to public hearing, but yeah, go ahead, Senator Olson, then we'll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure who wants to go ahead and answer this, but I would assume that it's Mr. Halford. As we look at what's going on there, and you are absolutely correct, when we're negotiating with multinational corporations, they've got the brightest and the best, and that's why they're able to attract those. And many people that have retired from public service have also gone to work for these corporations. But I would dare say, and wouldn't you agree, that when you do run for office, especially in the executive branch, that you're not running because of what the pay is going to be. You're running because you feel like you can do a service to the state of Alaska and affect public policy. And so why would somebody run? I mean, look, a good example of that is former New York Mayor Bloomberg, who I'm sure took a pay cut to be the mayor there, did a job there, whether you like it or not. But don't you agree that, and you've run for the executive office, Senator, and so wouldn't you agree that people are in their phase of giving back to society, especially those that have been successful?
I think that's absolutely true. I think there is a tremendous personal compensation in the sense of just feeling like you're doing the right thing. But I think the system has to work. These people as individuals have to support their families, have to have a reasonable compensation package, and I just believe that the balance is probably always behind the politics. It's always easy to take a shot at the pay levels at the top when we can't do anything about all the negotiated system everywhere else. But I certainly believe and agree that there is a great deal of compensation in public service that is not financial. But the financial compensation has to balance. And again, these are not the kind of changes that we had to make to catch up at least partway in the legislative branch. These are only the changes that would have occurred if these people had remained in the negotiated system that they are supposedly the top tier of, when we have page after page after page of state employees making a great deal more than they are. And that includes the head of the legislative branch. The system needs to have some kind of balance, even though there is a lot of compensation that's non-monetary, just in satisfaction.
I can continue, Mr. Chairman. As we look at the compensation package, and we certainly want to thank you and the commission for stepping up to the plate and having an objective commission there to go ahead and look at what's there. And I realize that, you know, in the past there has, there certainly have been people in the legislative branch that couldn't hardly feed their families on the salary that was there, and that had the demands, and so their spouse had to go to work. But I don't know of anybody in the executive branch that is having trouble feeding their families, and didn't run because of the pay. Are you aware of others that haven't?
I have heard of a number of people who didn't want to move up the chain of command because of the financial impact. And that's the one of the drivers of the change. The proposal as it came to the commission came from former member Dick Knapp, who was just replaced as he moved over to another appointment. But he went through the process and in the military system to flag rank, and then served as a commissioner of one of the big, tough departments. And he's the one that brought both of those questions before the commission. The arguments were good. The information seemed to make sense. And the commission unanimously accepted them.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Go ahead, Senator Wilson.
As we look at the numbers, and I'm not sure if Ms. Such is the person to go ahead and answer the question, we see the numbers there and the increase in salaries. What are the increase in benefits and the other associated benefits that are out there for these individuals that are in the executive branch?
Through the chair, to understand your question better, what type of benefits do you mean as far as health insurance and those sorts of things?
Yes, is we see the number here, which is for the salary.
Right.
And as you look at a compensation package, the salary is only a portion, certainly an important portion of anybody's take-home, but there are also benefits that are there. What are the benefits value that's above what they're getting now besides the salary, or if there is any?
This the commission's findings only dealt with salary, so nothing else has changed for those individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Olson. Senator Kelly.
Senator Halford, good morning. Thanks a lot for your work on this. Unfortunately, we only get to vote this up or down, so this is just an idea I wanted to float past you. When you and I served together, you had touched on this subject a number of times. And I think you had some pretty good ideas on this. And did the commission discuss creating like a team that would have a higher salary than other members of the cabinet? For instance, I think it's very important that we have we never lose an attorney general because of salary, and yet I know that's happened. Would be my hope that we never lose a commissioner of DNR because of salary, and I know that's happened. Maybe DOT, but frankly, and this is not to denigrate any of the other commissioners, but I think the state doesn't have so much of an acute compensation problem with the other commissioners, but we do with those three, and we've got to have those ones knocking it out of the park for us. So my point is, did the commission ever discuss singling out some of the commissioners? Former Commissioner Bishop is wiggling in his seat over here.
Commissioner of Labor is pretty important too, right?
Yeah, I just want to say, none of this other stuff works if you ain't got a labor force to build it.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator Kelly.
But I guess my point is that I am not, there's a kind of a philosophical look on this that I think we need to consider. It doesn't necessarily drive my decision, but that is this. I don't mind that the state doesn't get the best and the brightest. I would prefer that the best and the brightest are in the private sector. We do tend to attract the best and the brightest on a lot of levels. I would actually prefer that they were in the private sector, because that's what really drives our economy. And I know there are, and this isn't as true as it used to be, but there were many years in this state when private industry couldn't compete with the state. I don't think that's the case anymore. But I guess the road I'm going down is, you know what, if we don't attract the best and the brightest, and therefore we're not stealing these people away from the private
sector. This meeting is now over. Thank you for calling.
One of those employees that I kind of lost my train of thought there. But if we don't attract the best and the brightest, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not sure we should be compensating. Our focus should be on not competing with the private sector. Put a comma on that. However,
okay,
DNR,
yes? We're going to have to do an Eddie's. You're not, nothing's on the record.
All this brilliance.
Brief Eddie's. Okay, we're back. Sorry for the little technical difficulty there, but we are back on the record. Senator Kelly, did you have anything else?
No, I was informed that I do have something else, but I was informed that the statement was on the record, so I won't restate that or anything. I do want, and I know this committee is mindful of what I'm about to say, and that is we have salary issues throughout state government that we're going to have to deal with at one level or another, whether it's the STEP, whether it's the contract negotiations. This is just the first thing that we have to deal with. Last year, we sent a letter to the negotiating heads to try to put some of the brakes on the salary increases. Then we sent a letter to the president of the university. We'll probably send another letter this year to just make our will known, if we're in agreement, that we have to deal with salaries on multiple levels, not just this.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Senator Kelly. And I just one comment, but actually, let's go to public hearing, then we can do the comments. So I think we all understand the bill, and I believe the information is available to the public. I want to see at this time if we have anyone who wanted to testify with the public. I have no one here. Do you? Okay. Then we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing, and we'll go back now to the deliberation of the bill itself. I guess one comment, Senator Kelly, that you had made was that we do use experts and contract out to get that experts, especially when we're dealing with very tough issues like oil and gas and labor negotiations and things like that. So I don't want the public to think that we're not on equal grounds when we're working with the oil companies or the gas companies or the labor unions. We just don't need to have that expertise on the payroll all year round. But we do contract out that expertise. Okay, is there additional questions, comments? Former Commissioner of Labor, Commissioner Bishop, you made the comment that the labor commissioner is pretty important too, and I absolutely agree with you.
I just with this few comments, and the discussion's good. You know, I like to follow up a little bit on what Senator Olson said. You know, as somebody that came out of the private sector and came down here and got around to start negotiating, what's the pay? And you know, I was shocked, you know, because I said, wow, that's a pay cut. But I stepped back, and of course we had the doing your part, you know, back to the state of Alaska and you know, being a good public citizen and coming down here and trying to bring some of your expertise and hopefully move the state forward. You know, I, of course, I'm a sucker for helping people, and I bought that line, hook, line, and sinker, and I did come down here and take the pay cut, knowing that I was taking a pay cut, and to really, truly try to lend expertise moving the state forward. And I will say that I wouldn't have been as successful as I was down here, and I'd like to think that I was, because it was the help of individuals sitting here at this table that helped me in supporting me and pushing my positions forward on workforce development. So, but with that being said, you know, we're all senior enough around this table to have been through the ups and downs of the price of oil. And where I was at in my career at one time in the mid-80s, and we don't have to revisit that, we know what it was like. I, too, at that point in my time and all my contemporaries, we had to take a substantial wage cut and freeze for a period of a time until Alaska's oil and gas industry came back and the price of oil did come up. And it was over a seven-year period that we did that. Now, I'd like to think that it's not going to be that long this time, but we all stepped up and chipped in and did our fair share, and I think we might be at that point in time now. So, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Additional questions, comments? Nancy?
I just wanted to point out, sir, that we have additional information in comparison to other states, other employers, information on the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations website, and that's through the State Officers Compensation Commission link. If anyone would like me to send that to their staff, I can do that. I'd be happy to do that.
I think you should send it to all of us.
I will do that.
Or, Christine, how do we do this? Is come to us and then we send it out, or...
We'll make sure every office gets a copy.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. I think that, as was pointed out by your initial statements earlier on, that the timing right now is not good. I think it's, we're entering deficit spending, significant deficit spending over the next several years. And as we look at this in light of Shell's announcement over the last couple of days, I mean, I see a dismal future out there, and to go ahead and increase, certainly is not going to increase the public's sentiment toward elected officials if we go ahead and start increasing people's pay during this very difficult time. I mean, if we had it would be looking at Shell's announcement, there are people that are going to be losing jobs. If we put this on a personal level where somebody lost their jobs, they wouldn't be taking on new projects to remodel their house or increase the allowance of their kids or do that, because their discretionary money is going to be decreased by significantly. And so because of that, I mean, I can hear what they're saying, but I would say that because of the timing, because of the announcement, we're going to see a steeper decline than we even anticipated and was forecast by the Department of Revenue.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Olson. And, yes, Senator Fricklef.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Halford, are you still online?
I have a nod. Mr. Halford, are you online?
Senator Halford.
Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, what I was wondering is in future years, as the commission takes a look at these things, I think that Senator Olson and Senator Bishop are right, that it's the wrong time to try to move pay ranges forward. I do think it's inherently wrong, though, when a deputy commissioner is making more than the commissioner. But if it's an up or down vote, then I think that we're going to reject the proposal. But what I'd like to suggest is that if we look at this again next year, is there a possibility of having two separate recommendations or several recommendations so that it's not all or so everyone's not lumped into one basket? And specifically, what I'm concerned with is people who are working under a commissioner making more money than the commissioner. I don't know if we need to fix the scale that's leading up to it or what, but if the commission could take a look at that and advance more than one recommendation forward so that we would separate those department heads or systemic issues that might need to be addressed so that we have segments that we could vote up or down. And if it can't be done, I just didn't know.
Actually, I think we do have Mr. Halford online. Is that correct, Mr. Halford?
Yes, I'm still online.
Okay, great. Did you hear Senator Fairclough's?
Yes, I did. And the only thing I would point out is the total of this one is $227,000. It basically picks up the old scales, and you know it is symbolic, and that is always tough. And what we try to do is look at what makes sense. And we do try to be politically sensitive. That's why we adopted an original position and have carried it all the time that I've been there, is that the commission does nothing unless it has unanimous consent. If there's any member of the commission that is opposed, we don't go forward. And I think the size of this recommendation is incredibly small, but symbolically it may irritate someone. We got one person by mail to make a comment. I think it was an email comment, actually, not mail. But we got no return from the public on public hearings, no interest, and really not much of anything else. I don't know how we can make a much smaller recommendation than the $227,000 to pick up the existing signals. The cost and the biggest impact of it is the commissioner, deputy commissioner, and the pay differential, probably. So I'd be glad to listen to anyone. Because we deal with the legislative salaries, it seems that nobody really wants to have a discussion. Everybody wants to kind of be at an arm's length. And anyone who runs for office wants to be able to say that I didn't do it, all the way up to the governor, lieutenant governor. And that's all fine. That's why the commission was created, was to fix the mess in the legislative branch that had gone on for years and years. And the reason I took a membership was because I felt guilty for not having fixed it a lot sooner. So we can come up with different ways to do it, but it takes working together, and the problem is if the commission works with the legislature, then you're going to get painted with the brush for whatever the recommendation is. I still believe that your branch is way behind in the process, but what we do is we look at what looks like it's politically possible and reasonable and going the right direction. And that's why we made this very small recommendation.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Halbert. So we have a couple more comments, Senator Kelly and then Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I'll talk offline with Senator Halbert. I have some questions about how the commission works and possibly some solutions in the future. And I know he's worked on this a lot, and he always has interesting takes on things. So I'll talk with you, Senator, offline.
Okay. But
I've got to take off fairly soon to a doctor's appointment. So.
Okay, and just so the public knows, that's former Senator Halbert.
Yeah, I think protocols is you call
I understand. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I haven't really made up my mind on this issue, but it's hard to support the commission's recommendation when the chief executive officer is not accepting the recommendation and said that even if it were approved, he would not take that salary. And I think that he sets the tone, and he's doing this because of the same reasons that Senator Bishop and Senator Olson have said. It's the times that we're in. And when the chief executive officer sets the tone, it's very difficult for me to treat the others differently. So basically, that is where I'm at on this issue.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Okay, there is a zero fiscal note. So at this time, Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt and move SB 125 from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Okay, any objections to the bill moving out of committee? Seeing and hearing none, the bill moves out of committee. And if members could stay around to sign the recommendation sheet. So that concludes business for today. Monday should be a lively day as well. We have Senator Dunleavy's bill, SJ-9, which proposes a constitutional amendment to the Constitution to put a vote of the people on the use of state funds for their choice of education. Okay, so with that, we are adjourned till 9 o'clock Monday.